And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, this morning we pray that you'd help us for just a little while. Lord, I thank you for those here today. Lord, we thank you for the year that we've had. And God, we just want to one more day, Lord, present the gospel to this group. Lord, my prayer is that if there be one here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, this may be the last opportunity that they ever get, Lord, to trust you. And Lord, I pray that you begin to deal with their hearts right now, Father. Help them not to try to figure it out in their head, but Lord, trust by faith and what their heart is feeling, Lord, the tugging of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Father, this morning may be the morning they trust you as Lord and Savior. And God, we'll just give the service to you. Pray that everything's said and done and bring honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus passed by, I want you to keep that thought in your mind as we go through this lesson here. But not only in this lesson, as we look through the Gospels and we read the Word of God, we see that when Jesus passes by, there's always things that happen. Many times throughout the Bible, as we'll see, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle that he performed, the Bible has a little phrase, and many were saved, or many were converted, and many followed or trusted him afterwards. And because of what they saw, the miraculous things that they saw. And he says, blessed is those that believe and have not saw also. And you know what? We may not see a physical healing. Maybe I may not see a guy with leprosy healed before my eyes in this day, although he could do that if he chose to. But you know what? It was by faith and it was by the leading of the Holy Spirit that brought me to understand and believe the Word of God, and by faith it was that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And but here in this particular scripture, we see that Jesus has just come out of Jericho and he coming near Jericho, and he healed a blind man, and just a little while further over, we see that he had sat down and talked with little children and been talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we come up on this particular scripture here, and it says that when he passed through Jericho. So he's in Jericho, we know that. And as he's passing through, and we're not sure why, except for going through and doing what he did. He lived a perfect, sinless life, never once sinned, had a negative or a ungodly thought, never did anything what we would consider today to be a sin. He never did. The Bible says he was a sinless man. But he went about doing good. He said, I'm about my Father's business. And he went about through Jericho this day. And there's a man named Zacchaeus that was there also. Now, I'm sure, as we'll see in just a minute, we know that what did Zacchaeus do? What did he do? He climbed up in a tree. Why? Because he wanted to see the Lord. And remember, he was a short guy, and the crowds that followed Jesus, as you begin to read and you study the New Testament, and there was always a crowd that followed Jesus. Some followed him because they believed in him, they were his disciples. Some followed him to ridicule him, I'm sure, but there was a crowd. And a lot of times in the different miracles that Jesus performed, the Bible talks about there was a thronging crowd. That means it was a crowd that was so thick or heavy that you couldn't hardly, you're basically shoulder to shoulder. And you really didn't have wiggle room, if you would. Like trying to pack 30 people in the elevator that only can hold 20. But often it talks about thronging. But anyway, this day we see that Zacchaeus here heard something about Jesus coming through. Maybe it's from somebody, the word spread. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But anyway, let me say number one. Now, verse number 10 says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is why Christ came. He didn't come to for anybody but the lost. He came and he died so that the lost might have a chance to be saved. And so let me say number one, Zacchaeus here, when he heard the Lord was passing by, Zacchaeus made an effort to get to where he could see Jesus. He made an effort. Number one, he made an effort. And let me say this, in our life, If you're ever going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to have to put forth an effort in your life. It's not as if he just come by and taps you on the shoulder and all of a sudden picks and chooses you out and say that you're saved. That's not the way it works. You have to make a personal decision in your life to trust him as Lord and Savior. I remember a little over 13 years ago in my bedroom there at 200 Dixon Meadow Lane. You know what? That morning, guess what? I surrendered to him. In a sense, you know what? I made that effort finally, knowing what I needed to do. Some of you sitting here this morning, you know what you should do. You believe, and you know what you should do. You just haven't done it. Maybe there's others that's convincing you otherwise. Maybe you've been taught differently from what the Word of God said. But for whatever reason, you know what? You sit there week after week after week, and even sometimes tell me week after week after week, I'm confused, I don't know what to believe. Let me tell you what the Bible says here. The Bible says Zacchaeus, we'll get to that in a minute, that he was saved. But listen, he had to make an effort in order to be saved. The Bible says if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, thou shalt be saved. Guess what? That means we have to do something. It takes an effort. This morning, each one of us in here, you know what? It took an effort for you to put your clothes on that you're going to wear to school. It took an effort. Took an effort for you to get up out of bed this morning, although some of you may not have wanted to get up. But you know what? Hey, it took an effort. You had to do that yourself. Maybe your mother or your father threatened to whip you, but you got up anyway, and you finally got ready, and you're here. Throughout the day, guess what? You're going to make efforts today, probably to take on exams. You're going to put forth your effort, hopefully your best effort today. But let me say this, when it comes to salvation, for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, listen, you're going to have to make an effort in your life if you're ever going to know him personally. We see that Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. Obviously, he was short. He was small. The Bible said a little stature. He couldn't see over. I can just picture him maybe jumping up and trying to see Jesus. And where is this man called Jesus? And maybe trying to leap up and see. And all of a sudden, he goes and he runs and he climbs up in a tree. The Bible says a sycamore tree. And he climbs up in that tree so that he can get a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, what did he climb up in that tree for? Well, we know to see Jesus, and I don't know that if his heart's desire at that moment was to know him personally. I don't know where he was, if he had seen him anywhere else, and if he'd saw him with any miracles, if he was under conviction. I don't know that, but let me say this. He got up in that tree so that he could see a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what sometimes keeps us from making that decision to trust Christ? Is our view of him is not clear. You know what? There's things that clouds the way. There's things that's getting, you know, I can see that car going down the road right there. Now I can't because that wall's blocking it. Now I can see it again. Now I can't because the wall's blocking it again. Sometimes, you know what? There's things that obstruct our view of whatever we're looking at. And when we try to fix our eyes on Jesus, you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, there'll be things that'll get in our way. You know what? What's the number one thing to always talk about? Your friends. Who you hang around with, what you're doing with your life. Guess what? Sometimes, you know what? You might be this close. The Lord's dealing with you. Hey, you've been under conviction. I mean, man, you want to trust him, and all of a sudden you get around some that don't care. They're doing the things of this world, ungodly things, and you know what? All of a sudden, that drawing of the Holy Spirit that's drawing you, you know what? All of a sudden, you may not feel that draw anymore, that tug anymore. There's a lot of things that cloud, but a clear view. He got up, he had a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, for us to make that effort, for us to ever have the chance to be saved, we've got to put forth an effort. Just last Wednesday here, Wyatt's not here this morning, but most of you, he came down, and for weeks he's been coming down, and then just throws himself right on this little crack right here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night he's in here. And he had come down, just throw himself down there, and he'd pray sometime for 10 minutes, and you'd go up to ask him if he needed anything. No, I'm just praying. But you know what? Something was different last week. Something was different last week. You know what? And I sat down beside him and I asked him the same question that I've asked him probably 15 times in the last 3 months. I said, "Why, is there anything I can help you pray about?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "I need to be saved." You see, there was a time all of a sudden in Wyatt's life, they come to a point that, you know what? He had to make that effort. Now, for weeks, he knew what to do. He'd understand the gospel for years, but he wasn't quite at that age yet to where he realized that he was accountable for his sins. But yet, there in the altar, he says, I need to be saved. And you know what? And there, as I began to question him and talk to him, and all of a sudden, before I even was finished questioning, he just began to pray. and just the sweetest prayer. But you know what? He got a clear view that morning of who Jesus was. But he made an effort. Each one of us in here, those of you that are saved, if you were to stand up, and I wouldn't ask you to do that, but you know what? If you were to stand up and give a short testimony of the time that you got saved, you know what? You would be able to do it. You can remember it just like it was yesterday. Hey, it's the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life. And you know what? There's something about that special day that you would remember. I guarantee you that. But you know what? You would say, I had to make an effort. I remember this. I've heard of myself. I remember where I was. I remember the preacher that was preaching. Some have said, I don't remember the preacher, but I remember what church I was in. I know who knelt beside me. Somebody may have led me to the Lord. I was on the side of the road. I was in a field on a tractor. Well, I've heard all kind of stories on an airplane. But you know what? They can tell you something about that time. Why? Because they had to make an effort to get to Jesus. Let me say this. Number one, Zacchaeus made an effort. Number two, Zacchaeus listened to what Jesus had to say. He listened to Jesus. And we read there in verse number 5, the Bible says this, and when Jesus came to the place, remember the tree there that Zacchaeus had climbed, okay? He looked up into the tree and he saw him, Zacchaeus, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 7 says, verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now we see here that when Jesus walked by, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down here. The Bible said, and Zacchaeus made haste and come down. And if we look at that word there, to make haste, it talks about doing it quickly or doing it instantaneously at that very moment. Not when Jesus said, okay, Zacchaeus, come down. And he said, well, maybe in about 10 minutes I will. You know what? He did it instantly. He had met the Savior here. He saw him, and all of a sudden Jesus recognized who he was. Listen, he listened to Jesus. The best thing that we can do in our life, listen, when the Holy Spirit, John 6:44, Jesus himself said, unless you be drawn by the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. I'm paraphrasing. That's what it says. And here we listen. Zacchaeus listened to Jesus. And he came down and he was listening. I thought about Nicodemus over in John chapter number 3, verse 3, came to Jesus by night and he said, what must I do to go to heaven, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, you must be born again. And we see later on that Nicodemus is one that helps pull Jesus' body there with Joseph off of the cross. No doubt that he'd made that transition or that step, that effort to trust Christ as Savior. But he listened to Jesus. Listen, the best thing that we can do in our life is to listen to our Lord and Savior. That's the very key of living a victorious Christian life, is just doing and listening to what he says. You know what? If we listen to what he says, it brings me to my next point, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but Zacchaeus obeyed Jesus. But let me say this. When we listen to him, guess what? We know what we should do. That doesn't mean that we're going to do it, but guess what that does mean? It does mean that we know what we should do. Hey, if the Lord tells me to go and witness to a certain person, guess what? That's what I should do. Why? It's either because of salvation or maybe for encouragement, but for some reason that person needs me to go talk to him. And the Lord may just say, Greg, I want you, and he's done that before. I think of Philip in the Bible. Philip there, as God called him to go into a desert place, you know what? He just did it. But listening to Jesus, you know what? Sometimes we don't listen to him. Let me say this. Sometimes we don't hear him because we're not listening. My wife tells me all the time, she'll say something and she'll say, did you hear me? I said, yeah, I heard you. But she said, well, you wasn't listening. But you know, there's a difference in hearing somebody talk, but listening to what they say. My children sometimes, guess what? They hear me, but they don't listen. Sometimes some of y'all hear us, but you don't listen. And there is a difference. But I'm talking about, listen, listening to our Savior, to what He may have to say about us. Listen, He knows your condition. He knows right where you are. Hey, He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. He knows your head. He knows everything about you. He knows your life. He knows what you need in your life. He knows the friends you need in your life. He knows the places that you need to be going, the places you need to stay away from. He knows the things that you should be doing, the things you should not be doing. Listen, He's our guide. He sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to live inside of the believer, to lead and guide us so that, you know what, we can make those good decisions. Often you've heard preachers say this, and I've said it for years. You know what, as a Christian, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Yet we walk around so many times, so many days, down and defeated because of what's going on. And I know we're going to suffer. I do know that. The Bible tells us that. But you know what, we ought to be happy. I'm happy. Listen, I'm happy because there was a time I made an effort. There's a time I listened to Jesus. But thirdly, let me say this. Zacchaeus obeyed Jesus. Verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down. I got ahead of myself. But that means that he was obedient to what the Lord had told him to do. And let me say this. The greatest thing that we can do is just obey our Lord. Obey Him. Obey Him. 40 years old just this year in April, turned 40 and about half my life, you look at numbers, about half my life is gone already. And I was just thinking back, been saved 13 years. A third of my life I've already lived. I was saved two-thirds, I wasn't. But I've got to thinking ahead, and I wonder how many more times in my life is the Lord going to say, Greg, do this, Greg, do that, and I wonder what I'm going to do. You know what, I could stand up here right now and tell you three or four things the Lord's told me specifically to do, and I've just said no to in the past. You know what? And every single time that I've said no, you know what? There's been consequences that's come along with that. That's disobedience. That's sin. And you know what? Because of that, three different times, medically speaking, the Lord's put me on my back. So the only way, only thing that I could do is look up. You know what? I couldn't get away from it. But let me say this too. There's been times that I've done exactly what He's told me to do, and I've listened, and I said I will do it. I'll go, and I've done that. And every single time, you know what? There's been blessings that He's given me. Listen, it's never wrong to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth not to him to sin. And listen, in our life, we know, you know what, if we listen to Him, we make an effort. You know what, hey, we rely on the Holy Spirit. We're surrendered to the Holy Ghost when He draws us. Then guess what may happen to you? Maybe this morning, if we surrender to Him, we call out to Him, we cry out to Him, for salvation. The greatest thing that ever happened to somebody that's saved is that they got saved. The greatest thing. But he obeyed Jesus. And he did it immediately. Make haste there does mean quickly, at the very moment that it's spoken of. Just as if someone were to ask you a question and you answer it immediately. He said, come down. And Zacchaeus came down. He was obedient to him. And he came down and he said this in verse 6, I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. And then verse 9 it says, this day salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then that verse there, that for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus obeyed Jesus. And because of his obedience, the Bible said that he received him joyfully. And verse 9 there, that salvation had come to his house. And listen, what we see has happened here from when he climbed up in that tree and he saw Jesus and he listened to him and he made the effort, he listened to him. You know what? Hey, salvation had come into the home here of Zacchaeus. Listen, Zacchaeus was saved. It wasn't because of what somebody else done for him. It wasn't because of his friend or maybe a family member. It was because of his effort. It was because that he listened to the Lord. It was because he chose to trust Him and to joyfully serve Him. And I wonder this morning and here how many of us truly, number one, are saved. Listen, there are many times, and I've seen it this year more than I've ever seen it any other year, but I've seen more people in the past, let me say this, in the past, going back this past school year, that come forth and say, Brother Greg, I thought I was saved, but you know what? I realized that I'm not. I know 10 or 12 just in our school. And you know what? That takes a lot to come forth and not worry about what anybody else thinks or may be saying, but to come forth and realize that, you know what? Hey, there is something different in my life. There's something that's not there. There's something that's missing. And you know what? Hey, I need to be saved and not to be ashamed about it. Do you know what some people's problem is? And it may be some of yours here this morning. You're more concerned about what the person beside you or your best friend is going to say about you. Hey, you may be concerned if it's going to be cool or if it's not going to be cool. But let me say this. When you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's pretty cool. Hey, it's the greatest thing that you could ever do. And you know what? Some of you, if that is you, and you know what? It's a friend or it's somebody that's causing you or keeping you from making that decision. You know what? That means you're putting more faith or you're relying more on yourself and you care more about yourself and your friends than you do about eternity. Listen, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. All you look in the obituaries today in the paper, you know what? You'll see that there's people that's passed on the last few days. We do not know when that time will come, whether it's young kids or older men or women. We don't know. But I do know this, if that does happen, if death does come knocking on your heart's door and you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, as the preacher preached last week, there's a place that's awaiting you. That place is called hell. But yet, if we trust Christ, if we trust Him, truly trust Him with the bottom of our heart, we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, come in our life, save us, you know what? He gives us that home in heaven that we hear about. Boy, if I were to ask you that question, and don't raise your hand, but man, who all wants to go to heaven? Man, we probably, every one of us in here would raise your hand. And if I were to ask the question, is there anybody in here that would want to go to hell? Probably nobody in here would raise your hand. But yet some today sit on the balance, right on the balance. You know what? You're on the fence. You know what? The Lord has dealt with you. You know that. But yet you're at that point where you got to make a decision whether you're going to go with God or whether you're going to go with the devil. And you know what? The only person that can make that decision for you is you. Your parents can put you in a Christian school. They can bring you to church every time the doors are open. Hey, they can read you every night and every morning. They can do all these things for you. But if you in your heart don't accept what they're doing, don't understand why they're doing it, and do not make an effort to trust Christ as your Savior, you know what? Then they're just trying to do great things for you, but it has zero effect on your eternity. Listen, eternity means forever. We're going to die, and one day when we die, this soul is going to live on. And it's going to go to one of those two places. When Jesus passed by, we see Nicodemus, he made an effort. He went and he made that effort. He climbed up in a tree so he could see Him clearly. Then we see that he listened to Jesus when Jesus spoke. I wonder how many this morning, Emily, come on to the piano. I wonder how many this morning would say, you know what, maybe Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Maybe the Holy Ghost has dealt with you, drawing you. You realize this morning, hey, you know what, that I need to be saved. Reality is, you know what, for some of you, this probably may be the last worship service that you're in until school starts next year. Some of you may not go to church. Some of you may not go to church faithfully. You know what, you may not get another chance. I don't know that. But you know what, some of you this morning, they may just be one. And I would probably say that there is at least one. You know what? That this morning is the morning that the Lord is dealing with you about salvation. And I sure hope that and pray that you would consider making an effort to get up out of your seat in just a moment, walk down here to this altar. I can show you, I'll kneel with you, show you how to be saved, what the Word of God says about how to be saved. You know, I know there's got to be one. I know for sure. I've known that I was going to preach this message for almost 2 months. The Lord showed me this is the last message. We've never had a chapel service on this last Wednesday before school's out. Never. We've always canceled it. But I knew, and I knew what He wanted me to preach. And it's been simple and short. I don't want to make it, and salvation is simple. But you know what? That tells me somebody's here that needs to hear it this morning. And you know what? The greatest thing that would ever happen to you was you to trust Him as Lord and Savior. This may be your last opportunity. Zacchaeus made an effort. He listened to Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. And the Bible says that he received Him joyfully. We see that he was saved. And not only that, as Jesus went and dined in his home with him, the Bible speaks there about in his household. You know what? I've seen this too. And Brother Michael, you can probably attest to this better than I can. But I've seen one person get saved in a family. And all of a sudden, guess what? It sets off a spark in that family. You know what? I've seen a daddy come in here with a family that's lost, and daddy gets saved, mama gets saved, kids begin to get saved, and they're still serving faithfully today. That's the way it worked with me. We come in, my wife was saved, I was lost, I got saved, she got right. You know what? We've had our kids in church ever since. But you know what? I've seen it many times where a young person would step out and say, you know what? I need to be saved. And all of a sudden, that decision that you make, not only does it ensure that you go to heaven, but you know what? That decision that you make all gets your sisters and your brothers thinking about that decision. It may get your parents thinking about that decision. It may be that they're saved just out of God's will. You know what? It'll get them thinking about getting back in church where they need to be. But you never know this morning who holds. Somebody holds the key this morning, I'll be honest with you. Somebody holds the key. It may be that somebody moves. You know what? It may be that one of you move and come down here and accept Christ. And you know what? That's the key. That's the whole thing that sets off. Who knows? They may be 5 or 6 or 10 in here that need to be saved. I don't know. But I do know this. The Lord wanted me to preach this message this morning. And I'm fixing to give the invitation right here. And Emily, you go ahead and start playing. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you this morning, no, but please don't look around. Give everybody that respect. Please don't look around. Don't you worry about the person beside you. Don't you worry about your friends, anybody else right now. You just worry about you and eternity. Will there be anybody here? No, please, nobody looking around. But will there be one that would say, Greg, you spoke right to my heart this morning. I know that I'm not saved. And if I were to die today, I do know for sure that I wouldn't go to heaven. There's no looking around. That's serious business. If that's you this morning, and I'm the only one that's looking around, everybody else with their heads bowed, their eyes closed, but if that's you, would you just look at me, please? Would there be anybody? Just look at me. Make sure I see you, okay? Anybody say, Brother Greg, that's me. I know I'm not saved, but I sure would like to be. Anybody? Anybody? These altars are full. If you maybe just need to come, just want to thank him for whatever he's done in your life. Listen, you come on down here and thank him for that. Will there be anybody that want to step out this morning and say, that's me? That's me. Beside you, say, would you come down here and pray with me? Whatever your case is, this is the time to move. Anybody?